Locations, the right supplies, and good advice are just around the corner.
Let's get you what you need.
See store for details. Limit one gift card per household. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, Phil Steele, college football guru, ESPN college football insider as well, will be joining us. We'll talk about the Hawkeyes, the Cyclones, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the national football scene with Phil. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, college basketball news and a big, big announcement today. PGA Championship going on in Charlotte. We'll talk all about it when we come back. It is the Gym Class on KGYM. Happy Friday, everyone. It is not the end of September. Feels like it. I think we almost had to talk wind chill for a while again this morning. Second Friday in a row. It's been a chilly start to the day. Welcome in. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, Jim Class, coming your way for a Friday here at KGYM at 5 past the hour of 3. Thank you for joining us on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 107.5 FM, and the South Gym at 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Phil Steele will join us coming up in just a little bit. Always great to talk with Phil. He's working now with ESPN, so he's one of us now. And also, of course, puts out, I think, the preeminent book as far as college football is concerned, the College Football Preview 2017, 352 pages of information. If it's something to be known, Phil will have it listed, and it'll be listed next to an abbreviation, which I think is fantastic as well. So we'll talk with Phil coming up in just a little bit. Mark, did good afternoon, and did you enjoy last night's Chicago Bears game, or did you not enjoy last night's Chicago Bears game?
I took it with a grain of salt. I tuned in to catch some of the young guys, certainly Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, the Bears' number one draft pick. But you just have to realize that the frontline players on either team are not playing, so you have to step back and, what do you make of this?
Yeah.
But Trubisky was really good.
Was that a bad thing for the Chicago Bears, in your opinion?
It's one preseason game.
He's not ready for the bust in Canton yet, is what you're saying at this point.
True.
Love to hear from the Bears fans out there. I know there are a lot of them. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That is also our phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. 1600 because Mike Glennon was not good, and again it's a preseason game, the first preseason game, but he had a quarterback rating of zip. I mean, you and I could have rolled out onto Soldier Field last night and had zip for a quarterback rating, and then Mark Sanchez came in, threw a nice block. And did okay, didn't do anything spectacular, and then Trubisky came in and. Lo and behold, things started to move for the Monsters of the Midway.
Trubisky, 18 out of 25, 166 yards and a touchdown, no picks. Glennon played sparingly after throwing an early interception. That's a very small sample size. I didn't like what I saw, but again, a small sample size there. It's enough to bring fodder to our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. Do the Chicago Bears have a quarterback controversy on their hands? Yes, no, we're too early to tell. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
It is not a quarterback controversy, in my opinion, as of yet, because like you said, it's one preseason game. Now, if the next two preseason games, things go like this, Bears cannot start Mitch Trubisky on opening day, can they?
I think it'd be best to sit him all or most of the year because he didn't play a full season last year in college.
True.
And they got Mark Sanchez there, a journeyman quarterback who be okay in a backup situation. Listen, you spent $13 million on Mike Glennon for a year of service, and you've got to start him, don't you?
I think you have to, no matter what happens in the preseason. But if things don't go well, and then you've got Trubisky waiting in the wings coming off a good preseason, then things might get a little bumpy, as they say in Chicago. But it's one game. It's just one game, and it doesn't mean anything, so we shall see. We shall see how it goes. Other NFL news today, sounds like Ezekiel Elliott is going to miss some time. He's going to miss some time as far as the National Football League season is concerned. Came out today with a 6-game suspension to the NFL office. He has 3 days to appeal it. That's for numerous issues off the field, violence issues for Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got 3 days to appeal. He will appeal. I would not be surprised to see it probably dropped one game. We shall see. It depends on what the commissioner, how it just depends on what Roger Goodell thinks at this present time anyway. He's going to miss some time. Interestingly enough, pregame.com, Las Vegas, coming out today and saying it's not really a big deal as far as their lines on the Cowboy games are concerned. They only dropped them a half a point today, saying that anybody can run behind Dallas's offensive line. That would be Darren McFadden playing the role of anybody. Yeah. Now, I'm going to see how Dak Prescott's going to do, because it's not Ezekiel Elliott he's handing it off to. It's an injury-prone, older running back in Darren McFadden, and we'll see if Prescott's numbers maybe fall down a little bit.
Well, this is really an interesting situation, I think. It's a violation of the league's personal conduct policy, a mandated 6-game suspension for Elliott. I think what's interesting is this goes back to a July 2016 incident with his girlfriend. She produced pictures of alleged abuse, but charges were never brought. Elliott obviously played the whole 2016 season, was very productive, but not until now is he being punished, or perhaps being punished, pending the appeal, for alleged abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And now his attorney is saying the NFL cherry-picked evidence to support its conclusion. So, you know, does anyone have a problem out there with a guy not being charged with an offense, still being suspended?
Yeah, let us know.
Does that say more about the NFL, or does it say less about prosecutors?
The NFL has been very inconsistent as far as handing out punishment, in my opinions, and very just all over the range with their decision-making. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to have your opinion known out there on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line on the Bears, on Ezekiel Elliott. Some NFL news, of course, coming down today. We had trades in dealing with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, they have hit the enough button with Sammy Watkins, and they have moved him on to the Los Angeles Rams, and also bringing in Jordan Matthews today, did the Buffalo Bills.
On the text line, Darren in Iowa City, Bears better wait to start Mitch 4 to 6 games.
I think that's very, very good thinking.
6960 in regards to Elliott, it's all about PR, not about justice. And we're not talking Nancy justice here.
No.
6739, Goodell needs to go.
It's just been very inconsistent, whether it's his thinking or someone else in the National Football League office, or a quorum of people in the National Football League office. It's just been very, very broad strokes as far as, okay, this guy gets 6 games, this guy gets 1 game. It's just been very inconsistent. We do have news out of Iowa City. We have a Matt Quarles sighting, ladies and gentlemen. He is at practice today for the Iowa Hawkeyes, wearing number 8. Number 1 in your heart, number 8 in your program. Matt Corrals is in at wide receiver. So had to get that out there for you, Mark.
Tom Brady serves four games for reducing the PSI in a couple footballs, or at least participating in same. And now Elliott for alleged abuse. If he abused this woman or other women, I mean, at six games doesn't seem like a whole lot.
I would agree. Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here in the Friday edition of the program, and we will have Phil Steele coming up here in just a little bit. We do have college basketball news today, and I guess it's from the it's surprising but not so surprising department. Big, big day for Ben Jacobson and the UNI Panthers today, as it became official, at least as far as official it can get as far as a verbal commitment is concerned. A.J. Green, the point guard out of Cedar Falls, has committed to the University of Northern Iowa, a top 100 in the class of 2018, one of the top 20 point guards, pretty much consensus. In the class of 2018, averaged 21.5 points a game last year for the Cedar Falls Tigers, 43% from three-point land, 91% from the free throw line, and did that all basically playing on one leg last year for Cedar Falls. And they're going to have a terrific team coming up this year, and he made his intentions known today that he will play at UNI. Now, why do you say it's surprising but not surprising is because his dad, Kyle Green, as people that follow basketball know, he is an assistant coach for Ben Jacobson. There was speculation that he was always going to go to UNI. However, when you've got the biggies of the Big Ten, the Big 12, he was all over the Power Five conferences, their maps. And when UNI gets somebody of that ilk, that's a pretty darn good get for the Panthers.
I have not seen him play. I know his reputation. I will ask you, you've covered all the great guards in the Mississippi Valley Conference, not only recently, but in the past. Recently, Marcus Page, who's getting married this weekend, we understand.
Yes. Congratulations, Marcus.
Jordan Bohannon, now at Iowa.
All the Bohannons.
Can you compare him to those guys?
He is a guy, when his shot is on, it's just a lot like Jordan Bohannon, just automatic. It's going to go in. He is probably not as smooth as Marcus was at the point guard position. Maybe a little bit better shooter from the perimeter than Marcus was. Doesn't have the athletic ability that Marcus did. But he's a very good leader. Very good leader. Quicker than he looks out there. But like I said, when he gets that shot going, he's got endless range. And he's just a guy, he's a winner. He just will not turn the ball over. Very solid. Probably not the ilk of Marcus, but pretty darn good. I mean, you mentioned three pretty good point guards right there. And I think they're all going to do just fine. And A.J. Green.
Throwing Wes Washburn, too.
Yeah, Wes Washburn wasn't too bad. Not too bad in his own right out there. We've been very blessed in the metro area and throughout the corridor with some very good basketball players.
He'll be in town playing one or more times, I would guess.
Yeah, and go out and see him. He's a very, 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 very good one. And he will be going to UNI. 319-366-1600. Panther fans, you got to be ecstatic about that to get a guy with the national reputation of A.J. Green out there, putting with Austin Fife for 3 years and others. Going to be a pretty good addition of the Panthers coming up.
Let's say so. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And our phone line, producer Kyle Mann, across the glass, ready to serve you. 3244, in regards to our Ezekiel Elliott suspension conversation, they also have eyewitnesses saying the woman got in a bar fight, and those are the bruises she tagged him in the photos of them, and then she asked him to lie about it to her. For her, I'm sorry.
For her, okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll get to the bottom of this, I hope. If he's innocent, then I hope he's exonerated of all this. But right now, it stands at a 6-game suspension. And that's what the NFL is sticking with at this point. Shouldn't bury the lead, and that's the PGA Championship today, Mark. We got golf going on right now. We got a red-hot Jason Day who's gone eagle, birdie, birdie over his last three holes, and he is right back into the thick of things right now. They're all chasing Kevin Kisner, though, who put up his second consecutive 67 today.
Kisner leading the pack at 8-under par, and he was out early today, and he now holds a four-stroke lead over Hideki Matsuyama and Louis Oosthuizen, both of whom are on the course. And you mentioned Jason Day making a move. He's now 3-under par for the tournament, tied for fourth. Zach Johnson just made a birdie on the seventh hole that offset a bogey earlier. Zach right now even on the day, even on the tournament. He's tied for 19th right now, up six spots from yesterday's finish. And right now the cut looks to be probably around plus five.
I think plus five will probably get you in because there's some people in some weird place. We're having Jordan Spieth is kind of stuck in neutral right now at plus two, and he's kind of been all over the place, and he's pulling a 13th hole at Birkdale here, and it's not going quite as well as it did at Birkdale.
Mm.
And so he's staring at a double bogey probably in the face, but that remains to be seen. But Kevin Kisner, Louis Oosthuizen, Ricky Fowler, Hideki Matsuyama. You're getting some big names rising to the top, as it usually does, toward the back half of the second round and into the third round of any major.
If you're a Phil Mickelson fan, you're out of luck. Phil shooting a 74 today, finishing his first two rounds plus 11, way above the cut line.
Yeah, just did not look right. Something is not right with the games. Maybe even beyond that, I don't know. Matsuyama with his second consecutive birdie, and he's to 500 now, Mark. Side note. Right there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. Also on the program today, we've got one more La Cantina $30 gift card. Thank you very much to La Cantina for helping us out this week. We do appreciate it. And, of course, if you want to stop for a delicious lunch, a margarita after work, sizzling takeout on your way home for dinner tonight, or you can have La Cantina cater your favorite event. We encourage you to give them a call or just stop by one of their three locations. That is the downtown Cedar Rapids location, Lincoln View Square in Marion, or the Fountains on Edgewood Road. And we've got a $30 gift card we're going to be giving away coming up to that in just a little bit. So stay tuned for that. Also want to mention tomorrow morning, our high school football previews get underway on the Coach's Show tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and we will talk Washington football, Prairie football, and Xavier football coming up tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll also have those for you up on our website at kgymradio.com for you to peruse. All right, 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We'll take a break, come back. Phil Steele, college football guru, will be joining us. And we'll talk all about the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Hawks, the Cyclones, and more with Phil coming up.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
If you love Mr. Shucks, then you won't want to miss this Friday's Colonels game. The first 1,000 fans get a free Mr. Shucks belly bobble figurine. That's right, it's not a bobble head, but a belly bobble of lovable Mr. Shucks. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now and arrive early to make sure you get your one-of-a-kind Mr. Shucks belly bobble this Friday at the Colonels.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases? But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Your building might look good, but how about your parking lot? Faded lines, potholes, and cracks can ruin a good first impression. Fixing your lot can be more affordable than you think. Pate Asphalt will be happy to come take a look and give you a free estimate. They do everything. Repair, striping, sealing, and they've been doing top-notch work around here for over 30 years. So let your parking lot impress your customers before they even step inside. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. Contact them at PateAsphalt.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back into The Gym Class Friday edition, coming your way here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. ESPN Insider College Football Previews, Phil Steele joining us here as he does each year. We look forward to this day and to talk a little college football, Big Ten and Big 12. And Phil, appreciate it. And I tell you what, it's like Christmas in August right now, getting ready for the football season, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it's something that I start writing the College Football Preview magazine, Phil Steele's College Football Preview, back in the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Finish it off June 1st. That's a full 6 months put into it there, and then a couple of months talking about it. So it's always a lot more fun when the games are actually being played, and they're not too far away right now.
They really aren't, Phil, and let's dive right into it. Let's talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes, and like a lot of teams, have groups that are strengths and other areas that, you know, they got to improve and show some things. So what's your analysis?
Well, the five units that I consider strengths for Iowa this year, one is the running back core. I think with Wadley leading the way and then adding a guy like James Butler from Nevada, that's a huge bump there. The offensive line, naturally a strength. Last year won the Offensive Line of the Year award and now has basically everybody back. The defensive line is a strength this year with Parker Hess, Matt Nelson, Budgeta at the defensive tackle spot. The linebacking core, naturally a strength with Bauer, Jewell, and Neiman all back. And then the special teams, also a strength this year. So those five units, very strong for Iowa. If you have question marks, one would be quarterback because we don't really know who the starter will be. I'm leaning with Nathan Stanley a little bit. And I actually think Stanley can match Beathard's numbers from last year. He only had a 17-10 ratio, only hit 56% of his passes, so not too alarmed there. Receiving core, a little bit of a concern, but remember last year Vandenberg was the top receiver coming into the season and basically missed the year. He's back, so that's a nice pickup there. And then the secondary, which loses some quality players like Desmond King and two other starters. So the secondary, a little bit of a concern for me, but overall I think this Iowa team is more talented than last year.
Interesting, and yet you had them, I think, in your preview, picked to finish fifth. But I think it shows more that the Western Division of the Big Ten is very topsy-turvy. I think Wisconsin, by far, is the favorite. But after that, so many scenarios can happen with the other six teams, especially those five, if you throw out maybe Illinois a little bit.
Yeah, I think you can throw out Illinois. And, when I look at Iowa this year, and let's hope I make the same mistake this year that I did last year with Wisconsin, because frankly, coming into the season last year, I liked what Wisconsin had coming back, but I said, "Oh my goodness, look at that schedule!" And as it was, they took on six top 10 teams last year, and with that schedule, I figured there's no way they can win the West. Boom, Badgers win the West last year. I always got that same type of schedule this year, drawing out of the East teams like Penn State and Ohio State. You know, they're taking on two top 10 teams right there. They play on the road. And by the way, both of those are at home. So if they lose those home games, that means most of the winnable games are on the road, games like Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. So the schedule set is the reason that I've got them picked fifth in the West. I like the talent Iowa has, but they just have a brutal schedule this year. But like I said, last year I made the same mistake with Wisconsin. I looked at their schedule and said there's no way that this team can survive that, and yet there they were in the Big West title game, or in the Big Ten West title game.
I think one aspect to consider, Phil, and you can love to have you weigh in on this, and Brian Ferentz is the new offensive coordinator. Ken O'Keefe is back as the quarterback's coach. How do you evaluate that?
I think it'll work out just fine. I don't think we're going to see drastic schemes, offensive schemes. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see the air raid offense installed and throwing the football 70 times a game. So I think with the coordinator change, the fact that O'Keefe stayed on board, you know, gives them that experience level, which is huge, and naturally the knowledge is there of the offense. So I don't think it's going to be a major difference offensively. But with the talent they have coming back, as I outlined, you know, it's running back and the offensive line, Vandenberg coming back, I think they'll be more productive this year.
Talking about the Big Ten West a little bit, Wisconsin, favorite going in there. I really like Northwestern again. And who knows about P.J. Fleck in Minnesota? I mean, all the things that are going on up there with Row the Boat, et cetera. But this Big Ten West is really, really a very interesting division again.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'll give you a thumbnail of each of the top teams. You look at Wisconsin this year, and they are my pick to win the Big Ten West. Even losing Cicci like they did at linebacker, you know, which is going to hurt them a little bit defensively, but they're still one of the best defenses in the country. I had them top five, so now let's make them maybe top eight defense. Offensively, I think they have their best run game they've had under Crist. They've surprisingly only averaged 3.8 and 4.3 yards per carry his first 2 years. But with that offensive line, some talented backs, I think they get back there. They've got an experienced quarterback. And then what I love about Wisconsin is their schedule. You look at, you know, who they play on the road, teams like Illinois, Indiana. I think Minnesota's a winnable game on the road, Nebraska winnable on the road. Toughest game of the season may be Michigan, but they get them at home the week before Michigan plays Ohio State. Great situation there. I do have the Badgers winning the West. Now, like you, I think Northwestern's got a shot. I mean, eight returning starters on offense, eight on defense. Clayton Thorson back at QB. Justin Jackson may not be the biggest, fastest running back out there, but he's highly productive and gives him a tremendous run game. And then you look at this team defensively. While they lose a couple of key players with the eight starters back, they'll be strong. Main concerns I have for Northwestern, one, they do draw Penn State at home and then have to play Wisconsin and Nebraska on the road, so the schedule's a little bit tougher. And secondly, it seems like whenever expectations are high for Northwestern, they disappoint a little. When they're low, they tend to overachieve. That would be my other question. With Nebraska, the big switch to the pass offense is on. They've got a quarterback that can do it. Now, Tanner Lee only started 2 years at Tulane and didn't have great numbers. But Lee was really impressed in the Manning camp, really impressed the NFL scouts. He's got everything you want. He's 6'4", 220. He's got a cannon for an arm. He can make every throw on the field. And he's got better supporting talent than he had when he was at Tulane. So I look for a big season out of Tanner Lee. Defensively, six starters are back for Nebraska. They do have to play Ohio State and Penn State also, like Iowa, out of the Eastern Division, which is difficult. They do get Wisconsin at home, and I think a win there, they get Northwestern at home, they'd have a shot at the West. And then the one thing I like about Minnesota this year is the schedule and the new coach. P.J. Fleck did a great job at Western Michigan, and he's going to come in with all this row the boat and things like that, as you mentioned. Well, if a new head coach has success early on, players tend to buy in, and then they play with a lot more confidence. And look at Minnesota's first seven games this year. Buffalo at Oregon State, Middle Tennessee, Maryland at home, Purdue on the road, Michigan State at home, Illinois at home. This team could very well start out 7-0. Now, they might be an underdog in their last five games, but they'll be playing with a lot more confidence, much like Penn State last year. Remember, Penn State was sort of a middle-of-the-road team. They upset Ohio State, played with a lot more confidence down the stretch, and actually were one of the better teams in the country. So Minnesota would be my wild card team in the West. And while Purdue will be improved and I think has a shot at a bowl, I don't think they're really worthy of mention with the top five teams in the West this year.
All right, let's look at the East. And you got the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Penn States. Wonder if Michigan State can bounce back after an uncharacteristic year, Phil. What are your thoughts?
Normally, I would think Michigan State would bounce back, but they just lost too much. And then losing a couple other unexpected guys, you know, after the spring was over, like Donnie Corley, Copeland is gone. They're one of the least experienced teams in the country. A little bit of turmoil going on there. I don't think Michigan State bounces back this year. Now, last year heading into the season, it was the big three in the East. Remember Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, who's going to win it? Penn State ended up winning it. I don't think that'll happen this year because Ohio State last year had some flaws. I mean, they were the least experienced team in the country last year, number 128 out of 128. They only had six returning starters. This year they've got 15 returning starters. They had in a guy like Kevin Wilson as the offensive coordinator, who I thought did a great job at Indiana, developing players there on the offense. And so I think he did, it's JT Barrett back to his 2014 form when he was a legitimate Heisman contender before he got injured late in the season. And I have the Buckeyes favored in all 12 games. Penn State's dangerous. I did an article for ESPN.com, and I think it'll be coming out, ESPN Magazine, I should say, strengths and weaknesses on the team. And I found it tough to find a weakness with Penn State. You know, the amazing thing, talking to James Franklin each of the 4 years he's been there, that first year I talked to him and we went over the team, they basically were one deep. You get to the second string and there was major question marks. This year, going over the team with Coach Franklin, we get to the fourth string defensive line and I'm thinking, wow, this guy could have started year one, and now he's fourth string defensive line. They're that deep. The scholarships are up to level. The recruiting has been there. Even if something happened to Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens would step right in because Franklin thinks he's almost as good a quarterback as McSorley. So this is a very deep Penn State team. Reason I didn't pick them to win the East, after they host Michigan, the very next week they have to go on the road to Columbus, who's seeking revenge, and Ohio State's off a bye. It's a great situation for Ohio State. I think they get that one at home. And then Michigan, you know, Michigan's one of the least experienced teams in the country. In fact, five returning starters is the lowest out there, but they still have talent. In fact, all eight units rank in my top units in the front of the magazine, which is highly unusual for a team with just five returning starters. But their schedule's tough. And look at these four games in particular. An inexperienced team in Michigan goes on the road in the first game and plays Florida, a very good team, my number one surprise team in the country. I think they could drop that. Later, they have to travel to Penn State. It'll be their second straight road game. Penn State's going to have a whiteout for that. Remember, they upset Ohio State in that situation. They're also off a bye, so it's a great situation for Penn State. They travel to face Wisconsin the week before playing Ohio State. That's going to be tough. And then Ohio State, a team they've struggled to get past. Last year's game went right down to the wire. But I think that I've got Michigan coming in third in the East this year.
Before we look at the Big 12 and the national scene, I want to go back to Iowa for a minute, Phil, if we can. And you cover the whole country. We've got James Butler coming in from Nevada. Can you give folks a snapshot of what to expect from this guy?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing was 2 years ago when I was talking to Nevada's head coach, he labeled him a Big Ten running back. That's where he's at right now. He is in the Big Ten. James Butler is a guy that is got the size at 210 pounds. He's only 5'9", a little bit more like a bowling ball, but he's got experience. He's quick. He's explosive. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Not great, but he can. And when I was talking to Nevada's head coach this year, he called him the best player on the team. So they're getting quite a player in James Butler this year.
Yep, and that will be interesting to see how he and Wadley will go in the backfield. Phil Steele joining us. You can pick up his magazine, and it's terrific. The College Football Preview 2017, also ESPN Insider. Let's talk Big 12 a little bit. Matt Campbell, year two in Ames, and interestingly enough, expectations pretty high. For a team that struggled a little bit, played better at the end of the season last year, they realistically think they can get six and get to a bowl game. Is that pie-in-the-sky thinking, or are you on board with that?
I did not project them for a bowl, but I almost did. So, yeah, the options are definitely there, and they're going to have to pull a couple upsets. But let's face it, last year, they were actually a home underdog to Texas Tech and beat them 66-10. Oklahoma only beat them by 10. Kansas State, they only lost by 5. The Oklahoma State game, I thought they had a good portion of the game. They ended up coming up 7 points short. The Baylor game, another tough loss, a 3-point loss. So a lot of close losses last year, including Northern Iowa in the opener. I think they have a great shot at opening up 3-0. And if that's the case, they just need to get three more wins after that. They host Kansas during the season. And when I look at this Iowa State team overall, I love the move at running back. Remember, Joel Lanning opened up last year at quarterback, I should say. Joel Lanning opened up at quarterback, and then Jacob Park took over. I love what I saw at Park down the stretch. He's one of the more highly rated quarterbacks out there, 6'4", 208. And then the land ram, Joel Lanning opts to go to defense. I think he's going to make a great middle linebacker, so that helps both positions. You look at the running backs, they got Montgomery and Warren, a couple of solid guys. My number 36 rated receivers in the country, led by Alan Lazard. Offensive line, a bit of a question, but Matt Campbell's been known to take inexperienced offensive lines and do well. So I'm not too concerned up front on the offensive line. And defensively, I think they'll be stronger this year with six starters back overall. So it's a team that is going to need to pull probably two upsets to get there to that six wins. But You know, it's starting off with they could potentially open up with three or four wins the first six, and the potential is there.
Yeah, and elsewhere in the Big 12, of course, Lincoln Riley taking over at Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, pretty solid 1-2 in there. And then after that, I think it's a lot like the Big 10 West. You can throw darts to the board and see what happens. I really like Kansas State this year. And, of course, Herman coming in at Texas, and he's going to change a lot of things down in Austin.
Yeah, I think there are five legitimate contenders in the Big 12. First of all, with Oklahoma, I look at Lincoln Riley coming in, and I love the timing of it, because generally, if he was a first-year head coach coming from a different program, he'd have to learn the player's strengths and weakness, would have to learn how to get the team through spring practice, prepare it for the season. Bob Stoops took care of all that, took the team through the spring, left after he got them prepped for the regular season. And, of course, Riley's already been the offensive coordinator there, knows him inside and out. They have their defense cornerback as well, and Stoops, best offensive line in the country, Baker Mayfield at QB, and improved defense. They're still my favorites to win the Big 12. But battling them, Oklahoma State, and as you touched on, the Big 12 pretty much feels it's going to be Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. They took Bedlam, which is usually the last game of the season, moved it up November 4th. I don't think they wanted an immediate rematch. And what about the triplets that Oklahoma State has right now? Mason Rudolph, a quarterback, Justice Hill, a running back, James Washington, a receiver. Their offensive line was a weak spot 2-3 years ago. Now it's turned into a strength. Defensively, they're going to rely on some JUCOs coming in, but I think they'll fare fairly well. And they get that big game, Bedlam, at home, which makes them a threat. And then the other three teams. TCU has got 17 returning starters this year. Gary Patterson knows defense. I think he'll have one of his better units. He's got Kyle Hicks back at running back, one of the best sets of receivers in the country. If they get Kenny Hill to be consistent, I think TCU is going to be a threat. Texas, as you touched on, with Tom Herman coming in, great situation. You look at this team defensively. I love the bodies they have at defensive line and defensive backs. These guys are big, strong, fast, everything you want, athletic. They just underachieved last year, and I think this year Herman will get them achieving up to the level they should. Remember, he faced six ranked teams while he was at Houston, went 6-0 against them. They've got a veteran quarterback now in Shane Buechele. Chris Warren went down with injury last year, so he's back at running back at 250 pounds. And then, as you touched on, I think Kansas State's a legitimate threat. Bill Snyder last year actually had 105 starts or 135 starts by underclassmen, the most ever. This guy always relies on JUCOs, and he played a lot of underclassmen last year. He's got 14 returning starters, the most since 2012 when they went 11-2 and got as high as number two in the polls. And you look at their schedule, I have a slight underdog at Oklahoma State. The Texas game I rate a toss-up. They could be favored in all the rest. This is one of Bill Snyder's best-ever teams. I'd love nothing more than to see Coach Snyder, who probably should have been in the playoffs a couple of times already, if not for a couple of inopportune upsets late in the year, actually get back to the playoffs as the champs of the Big 12. That would be fun to watch.
Yes, it would. A lot of the usual suspects in the preseason top 25, you've got your own. Now, what I really like to hear from you, Phil, is potential surprise teams each year.
Yeah, and last year the number one surprise team, of course, was Washington, and Washington went from 7-6 to making the playoffs. So, you know, that one worked out pretty good. And this year I'm going to go with two surprise teams for you. I'll give my number two team first, and that's Miami of Florida. And Florida, Miami of Florida, I should say, is a team that I love their defensive front seven. They have my number four rated defensive line. Last year they had three true freshman linebackers in Pinckney, Quarterman, and McLeod. Those guys were all VHTs. They're very highly touted. They all come back this year. That's going to be the Miami of Florida defensive front seven you used to remember seeing. And this is a Miami team that's never even been to the ACC title game. Remember when they joined, everybody thought they'd be there on a yearly basis. Biggest question mark is quarterback, but whether it's Malik Rozier or Nkosi Perry, they'll be surrounded by talent. And when I look at their schedule, I've got them favored in 11 of their 12 games this year. So I think Miami's got the potential to surprise, especially if they're playing in the ACC title game. That means they're basically an upset away from getting into the playoffs. And then same thing with Florida. And when I look at Florida, you know, the last 2 years they made it to the SEC title game with a backup quarterback. They lost their starter in the first half of the season both times. And their offense has only averaged 23 points per game the last 2 years. Now, offensively this year, they've got three capable quarterbacks. Malik Zaire, the redshirt freshman Felipe Franks, who's 6'6", 216 pounds. Luke Del Rio, who looked great early last year until getting injured. So three solid quarterbacks, three solid running backs in Scarlett Thompson and Perine, best receiving corps in 5 to 10 years, one of the SEC's best offensive lines. Their offense is going to go from below average, which it's been the last 2 years, to above average, about 34 points per game. Defensively, they're close to last year's standards, which means top 10. And then special teams, number 3. And then how about the schedule for them? They have 3 true road games this year, at Kentucky, at Missouri, at South Carolina. They get that Michigan game at home and Michigan's inexperienced game 1. They play Georgia and Jacksonville and have beaten Georgia the last 3 years. I think Florida will be much more representative for the SEC East in the SEC title game if they're fully charged on offense instead of playing a backup quarterback like they have the last 2 years.
Trust us, the Hawkeye fans around here know how good Florida's defense is. After the Outback Bowl 30-3 game last year. Phil, enjoy listening to you on ESPN, and as always, thank you very much for stopping by, helping us out, talking a little college football. We always appreciate it with you.
Guys, always a lot of fun talking football with you. A lot of fun, as always.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more after this. You're listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Epix presents the new original series, Get Shorty.
That is a good title.
To make it in Hollywood, it takes muscle.
If you don't produce my film, I'll ruin you.
A B-list producer.
You ask me to make a movie with cash.
Is that a problem?
We can work it out.
And a mob boss.
I like John Stamos. Could he be in this?
What?
Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaids.
It's good.
And Ray Romano.
Do we have a deal?
Get Shorty. Premieres Sunday, 10, 9 central. Only on Epix.
Start your own color party with colors like champagne and Jubilee. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains during the Love for Color sale, August 11th through the 14th. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Guys, get to JCPenney and save big on select items throughout the store. Find great brands like Levi's 502 regular fit jeans for $39.99. Or get 25% off select styles of Nike tees, shorts, shoes, and backpacks. Also, check out our great selection of men's big and tall sizes. And download the JCPenney app for even more savings. Hurry, sale ends Saturday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. See store at jcp.com for details. Season refers to 8/9 to 8/12.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form, specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with 2 pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary, tax extra.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM, Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Always good to catch up with Phil Steele, 347 here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Mike Halas will join us coming up on Monday. Tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium is Kids Day, and I believe things will get started at 12 noon tomorrow. Gates are going to open at 11 o'clock if you're so inclined to go down there. It's a great day to bring the kids, obviously. A lot of autographs to be had down there from the Iowa football team. And again, if you missed it earlier on in the show, the wide receiver Quarles from New Mexico at practice today for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So a little bit behind, obviously, learning the system and whatnot. Week and a half behind, as a matter of fact. But being a junior, being a player that played in the Mountain West, I think he'll pick it up fairly quickly. And certainly Iowa needs help at wide receiver. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see how that all plays out. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in with us here today. As we got news from Charlotte, and it's not good news.
PGA Championship being suspended right now in the second round due to weather conditions or pending weather conditions. Right now, Zach Johnson threw 8 holes. He's 1 under on the day and 1 under for the tournament. However, he's encountered problems on the 9th hole before the horn blew. He had hit his tee shot into the trees to the right on number 9, a 505-yard par 4, and was only able to punch out about 40 yards into a fairway bunker and still has 211 yards left for his third shot. So possible bogey there for Zach unless he comes up with some heroics. But again, play suspended at the PGA Championship in North Carolina. Kevin Kisner, your leader, at 8 under par. Hideki Matsuyama at 6 under. He is the closest pursuer.
And show the radar down there, and it's not going to be a long suspension. It's going to be one cell that's going to go through with some lightning in it. And they're thinking probably maybe a total of an hour once they get everybody off the course, back on the course. Probably give them 15 minutes to warm up, et cetera, and then get them back out
about
there.
4 hours of daylight left in the North Carolina region.
I'll take your word for it.
Let's see.
Three
or four.
Yeah, they should be pretty close to getting it done. Zach, yeah, he is he's experiencing some problems on his ninth hole today. Probably the worst timing that could be for a weather delay right now for Zach Johnson, as he is having some problems on the long par 4 ninth hole.
Did you hear the news on the Rally Cat?
Did not. Fill us in. I hear they're, well, I don't know if it's good news or bad news, or it's news. We know that.
The infamous Rally Cat was found.
Or famous, depending on what team, what side of the tracks you're on.
In City Garden in St. Louis earlier today, the St. Louis Feral Cat Outreach says they trapped a kitten at the City Garden overnight and confirms that the cat found is indeed the Rally Cat based on its distinctive features. That according to a board member with that particular organization.
I didn't know there was a feral cat society.
I did not either. Whether that just exists in St. Louis or not, I'm not sure. But apparently this cat, he has bands on his legs and a bullseye on his back, according to his fur. I don't know.
Again, depends on what side of the tracks you're on.
Some in Chicago may be aiming at said bullseye right now. I don't know. I wouldn't encourage that, but
no, don't do that.
The Rally Cat has been found as being sequestered right now, but they're hopeful of having a reunion with his Cardinal friends.
Oh, I bet the cat loves that.
And charges are not being pressed against the cat for clawing and biting the groundskeeper.
Yeah, that grounds crew wants nothing to do with that cat anymore. And they're going to try to... It's the 21st century. We're going to try to monetize this thing is what we're going to try to do.
6123, check the cat for paint.
What? It's not meet the parents. Ben Stiller is not getting the cat and painting the tail. Or anything like that. 319-366-1600.
Cardinals says same thing happened last night. Dexter Fowler came in and hit a grand slam, albeit without a cat present.
True.
But similar situation to the previous night. Yadier Molina had hit a grand slam. That was after the Rally Cat made an appearance on the field.
Tell you what, and we talked a lot of football today on the program, but this NL Central. And it's up for grabs now between four teams. Cardinals have pulled within a game. The Brewers are scuffling a little bit thanks to your Twins, who swept them in four in a home-and-home. So they've dropped back to the third-place spot. Pirates, I believe, now are only three games out. This thing is getting very, very tight.
I have to admit to getting a little snarky on Twitter last night.
Because your Twins helped out?
Well, it helped out enormously.
True.
Yeah, the Brewers swept the Twins. Cubs wouldn't be in very good shape right now, would they?
Well, that'd be okay. There is a long way to go.
These are pivotal games. We're down to 50 games left in the season.
True. Very much so.
And, you know, the Cubs are at Arizona starting a series tonight. The Cardinals hosting Atlanta
with Wainwright.
They're Atlanta's 10 games under 500, but had a better year than
A lot better year than people had thought.
Yeah, this thing's going to be very interesting, and things could change come Monday.
We have a poll question, deals with the Chicago Bears. And, of course, last night, Mitch Trubisky came on, did very, very well for the Bears. Not the only quarterback to do that. Jimmy Garoppolo was terrific last night for the New England Patriots as well. And, of course, that opens up that Pandora's box once again. Should the Patriots keep Jimmy Garoppolo? Should they trade Jimmy Garoppolo? What should they do? He's a great insurance claim or insurance policy to have, I should say. If you're a New England Patriot fan out there, but I don't know. One of these days, he's kind of want to try to venture out on his own and try to become a starting quarterback in this league.
Emo's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Do the Chicago Bears have a quarterback controversy on their hands? Yes, no, or too early to tell? Right now, majority of you are saying no, there is no controversy at this point.
We have great listeners.
You can also find our upcoming sports schedule there. Tonight, Twins baseball opening a series at Detroit. 107.5 FM will carry that game beginning at 7.
We'll join
up. In progress.
Yeah. And tomorrow and Sunday, we have coverage of the PGA Championship beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM tomorrow. So that will begin at 1 o'clock for the third round and 1 o'clock for the final round coming up on Sunday.
Appropriate time to give a reminder of your show tomorrow morning, high school football previews coming
up. Yes, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Tune in. We'll talk Washington, Prairie, and Xavier football coming up tomorrow morning. And really looking forward to that. All right, we need to take a break. As we go to break, one more $30 gift card from La Cantina going out to one of our great listeners out there. If you've been a winner over the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you are going to get a La Cantina gift card to spend at one of their three locations, downtown Cedar Rapids. Also, at the Fountains on Edgewood Road or Lincoln View Square in Marion. 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is.
The McGrath Automotive family is growing. If you're looking for a job or have a job you don't like, opportunities are now available. McGrath is hiring good people for sales and finance positions with compensation of $30,000 yearly guarantee with unlimited bonuses and commission. No experience is necessary, just a great attitude and the desire to learn and earn. You'll be working for one of the most respected family-owned and operated dealerships in Iowa. McGrath training programs are designed to fast-track you to the top. We'll be filling positions for our sales as well as finance teams. With $30,000 yearly guarantee with unlimited bonuses and commission, benefits also include 401k, insurance, improved sales hours, health club membership, and more. Email your resume to careers@mcgrathauto.com. Do it today. No prior automotive experience necessary, but time is urgent. Email your qualifications to careers@mcgrathauto.com.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Flood the Run is tomorrow at Ellis Park, presented by Viridian Credit Union. This 2.7-mile water-themed family-friendly obstacle run is fun for all ages. Run through our human car wash, get blasted in the blaster bog, plus our giant slip and slide and so much more. It's fun for the entire family with food vendors, games and activities, and live music after the run. Get soaked for a good cause, benefiting the Salvation Army and Matthew 25. Visit crfloodtherun.com for more information.
Two guys who may have faces made for radio. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class, KGYM.
John from Columbus Junction. He'll be coming up and enjoying some La Cantina here in the next few weeks or so. Thank you very much for listening here today. Mike Colas will join us coming up on Monday. Coverage of the PGA tomorrow and Sunday. Coach's Corner, our football preview is getting underway. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. And hopefully everybody has a great, great weekend out there. We look forward to talking with everyone on Monday. Maybe I'll have a quarterback controversy to talk about after tonight.
What do you suppose is the main art on the St. Louis Cardinals Twitter page?
Oh, a cat.
It's not Yadier Molina. It's not the number of pennants the Cardinals have won. It's this damn rally cat
it's on
running
there.
Across the field.
More on the cat coming up.
Start your own color party with colors like champagne and Jubilee. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains during the Love for Color sale, August 11th.